This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
My letter back. She wrote upon it. Return to sender. Address unknown. No such number. No such song. We had a quarrel. A lover's back.
Bit of Elvis for you there. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, not Elvis. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It's Tuesday, November the 24th. 2 days before Turkey Day. Holy Toledo. We're going to talk a little bit about people that are moving about the country and whether they should or not with this virus. We also will be talking in a couple of minutes with Zach Smith. He's with the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk about the crackdown by Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis on any rioting in the Sunshine State and the Stand Your Ground issue and all that stuff, you know, that has to do with, you know, all of this trouble that's been going on in some of the major cities around the country. Is this crackdown by DeSantis, is it necessary here in Florida? Will it work? We're going to talk about it. And the transition from Trump to Biden at the White House is beginning, much to the chagrin of the Donald, but he has not yet given up. He has not yet given up the ship. We'll talk about it. Meantime, should he swing on down to Georgia and help elect those two Republican senators? So the GOP keeps the Senate. We're going to talk about that with the proprietor of the beloved barber pole. By the way, you can get your hair cut today, and Ed just got his. Ed, tomorrow for half a day. Is that right?
I did not get mine yet.
You did not?
I'm going today.
Ed's going today. He's going to get the best haircut he can get in Tampa Bay, by the way, by going to Andrew's.
A Turkey Day cut. He'll be there today and half a day tomorrow.
Okay, so all day today you can get in there, but you got to call, and half a day tomorrow. So here is the number. If you want to call, it's 727-733-3773. Get your turkey haircut. Not to look like a turkey. And I don't want you coming back, Ed, looking like a pilgrim. Okay? Don't get one of them stinking pilgrim cuts.
That's the bowl cut, I think.
Yeah, it's the bowl cut. We don't want none of them stinking bowl cuts. So we'll have Andrew. Also, it looks like the latest medical data shows that vegans, you know what vegans are, right? People that don't eat meat. Okay. That vegans ought to eat as much turkey as they can this Thursday. Okay? And we're going to tell you why. Also, in our ultimate top 10, since you got very little to do, let's be honest, we're not getting together in these big Thanksgiving Day things. We're going to give you the top 10 greatest courtroom dramas to ever hit the silver screen. Okay? The best ones. And then you can make a list. And when they show up on Turner Classic Movies or somewhere else, you can watch it and really enjoy it. By the way, we are sponsored in part by the great Andrew, the master barber, and his barbershop. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcast Plaza. That is just north of State Road 580 Main Street. You know that road? Just north on Overcast Drive. And again, 727-733-3773. Also, I hope you're listening to Good Morning Clearwater from 8 to 10 a.m. every Monday through Friday here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Start your day with Paul and Tracy Allen. They have such energy. It's such a good show. And they also can create beautiful posters, flyers, and banners. Great banner that I have came from them. So don't forget Good Morning Clearwater. All right. So we got people that are getting on planes, and it's not going to be like it normally is. We all know that. But about 1 million Americans have been packing the airport and planes per day over this past weekend, even as these coronavirus numbers continue to surge. And all kinds of states now begging people, pleading with them to stay home. The only ones that are not begging and pleading are the airlines. They need the business. They're looking forward to it. They're hoping you come to the airport. But the crowds are expected to grow between now and Thursday. In fact, believe it or not, next Sunday when people are coming back from the vacation Thanksgiving deal, next Sunday likely to be the busiest day of the holiday period. So we'll see about all of this. I'm still up in the air about whether or not I should be going. I was going to be going out to see my sister in Palm Springs, but to be honest with you, they've got a couple of people there that have come down with the virus, and you start worrying about all of that. And these Thanksgiving gatherings, let's be honest, you got 10 or 12 or 14 people showing up. What are your chances that one of them might, even unbeknownst to them, have contracted the virus, right? So you got to be very careful, very careful. In the meantime, look at the stock market. I'm not sure that the stock market has gotten too upset that Trump is probably not going to be there next year. U.S. stock futures, they're about 300 to the good right now. They're knocking at the door of an all-time high. But strong gains this morning. And this despite or because of projected President-elect Joe Biden. And guess what? He's going to choose Janet Yellen. Remember her? Former Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen as his Treasury Secretary. I would suspect even a Republican Senate would okay that one, Janet Yellen. So, as we said a little earlier, and I haven't seen them as of the last couple of minutes, I got to get that television turned on to Fox so I can get my stock market quote. But the last I saw, it was about plus 300 points on the stock market. That's pretty doggone good. And one of the reasons it's up there, you know this, AstraZeneca, Pfizer, and now even the third company, Moderna, they all have vaccines coming out. So that's good news for the stock market as well. And even the oil situation is going well. Oil major companies are climbing in price. They're up to about $43, $44 a barrel. That's the highest it's been for oil since March. So that's not bad either. So anyway, there's a lot of things going on. And we want to talk, as we said, about what Ron DeSantis is doing with the issue of rioting in Florida. He's now cracking down on it. And we're going to talk with Zach Smith. He is a legal fellow at the Great Heritage Foundation, about whether or not the crackdown by Ron DeSantis makes any sense. So let's take our break, and then we'll be back with Zach Smith.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Goodness gracious, big balls of fire!
Tune in to
to Old East Channel Radio every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Do you remember the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Well, we'll be playing the greatest hits as well as plenty of songs from the B-side. This show is sure to bring back memories. So pull out your record collection, adjust your antenna, and listen to Old East Channel Radio Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works. By the way, we're here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network. Delighted to have Zach Smith join us. He is a legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation and at their Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. And by the way, he is a Florida native, and he has written a piece about the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis's crackdown on the whole rioting situation. You know, we've been seeing all of this, especially this past summer, going on across the country in cities like Seattle and Portland, Minneapolis, Chicago's had it, New York, all kinds of places. And Zach, welcome back to Freedom Works. Ron DeSantis, here we are in Florida. We don't have a big city like Chicago or, you know, some of these other places, New York. And yet he decides that he wants to put this legislation in play. Do we have an issue here in Florida in terms of rioting where this is a necessary situation?
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show, Paul.
Oh,
I really
it's our pleasure.
It.
Always a pleasure.
You know, and while we don't have the big city like Chicago or New York, you know, we certainly have large cities, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, Tampa. But really, the issues that we've seen play out in cities around the country like Portland, Chicago, New York, where there's rioting night after night after night, can really happen anywhere where lawlessness is allowed to fester. And so I think what Governor DeSantis is trying to do with his proposal and the bills he's putting forward is to prevent that from happening here in Florida. And I think that's an encouraging step because unlike other states, like Virginia, for instance, has recently done away with any mandatory minimum sentence for someone who assaults a police officer, Governor DeSantis, in his proposal, has said that if you assault a police officer during a riot, you're going to face a mandatory minimum sentence of 6 months in jail. And I think that's a step in the right direction, showing that he takes the safety of our communities here in Florida seriously and that he's willing to take concrete actions and concrete steps to ensure that we don't become the next Portland or New York or D.C. or Chicago where these riots are allowed to occur.
Right. And, you know, he's got this reputation, I think at least, as a no-nonsense governor. I would think, and I would suspect that most Republican governors are looked upon as kind of pro-police. Many of these governors that are Democrats, for some reason, are having issues with their own police commissioners. And we don't have that situation here in Florida. But so do you think he's just kind of, I mean, is this kind of a show thing? We haven't really had, to my knowledge, unless there's been some major rioting in some area I don't know about. We haven't had a major issue like this in Florida yet, have we?
Well, I think it's certainly designed to send a message, you know, because we've seen that those who are causing the violence, you know, and there tends to be a small core that kind of incites a lot of this violent activity, that they are willing to travel from jurisdiction to jurisdiction wherever the, you know, day's news takes them if they think it will help them move their cause forward. And so, again, I think it is designed to send a message to those folks that if you come to Florida, if you engage in those same activities, you're going to face a very different set of circumstances than what you're seeing or what you have faced in Portland, where you've effectively been ceded a number of city blocks to do what you will. And so, again, I do think it is designed to send a message, and I think it's a good message that, again, in Florida, we take safety seriously and that we're going to support the men and women of our law enforcement community.
We're talking with Zach Smith. He is a legal fellow in the Heritage Foundation's Meese Center. We're talking a little bit about Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, and some measures that he is trying to get through with the Florida legislature in basically stemming any kind of rioting that has been occurring all over the country. So, Zach, we've got apparently Joe Biden, who will take command at the White House next year. And yet we've had these riots all over the place, Portland and Minneapolis and some of the other cities. Do you think that, and I've not heard Biden really come down hard during, you know, these past several months on the demonstrators. Do you think we're going to, do you think there's a green light, a possible green light for more possible rioting as opposed to protesting now that Biden has come in? Or do you think because Biden is in, maybe things will settle down a little bit with some of these Black Lives Matter, well, Antifa people?
Right. Well, it's 2020, Paul, so I'm hesitant to make any predictions at this point.
Right.
But, you know, I do think that the folks who are pushing forward a lot of these riots, a lot of this violent activity, are very radicalized individuals and are pushing a very radical agenda. And so while they'll probably see more success with the Biden administration than they have with the Trump administration, you know, they're still asking for things that are far more radical, far to the left of even Joe Biden and what his administration will be likely to give in or cede to them. And so I think the thing that does trouble me to some degree is, you know, at least in places like Portland, Chicago, New York, there have been federal officials, federal authorities who are willing to step in and kind of be a backstop and take what actions they can, certainly to protect federal property, but also to help protect the community as well. You know, in Portland, we saw a number of police officers who were deputized as federal marshals, in large part so that the arrest they made could be prosecuted federally. If they were assaulted, it would be assault on a federal officer that could then be prosecuted. And under a Biden administration, you know, I think it is less likely you will see the federal authorities being that kind of backstop, willing to step in and fill the gap where needed. And so once that backstop is gone in some of those jurisdictions, you know, I think that is an even more dangerous, even more serious situation that we'll, you know, unfortunately, we'll have to wait to see how it plays out.
Right. You know, I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of my friends, to be honest with you, that worry that we're going to have some sort of backlash, maybe a conservative backlash to what's been going on. You know, there's concern, of course, about whether the election was fair and precinct voting, inner city precinct voting and mail-in balloting and all of that kind of thing. Is there any chance we'd have violent protests from right? I mean, we always think about Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Would we have any protests, do you think, on the other side to any extent? Or would they, be just more peaceful? They generally seem to be more peaceful, you know?
Well, look, peaceful protest on either side of the aisle is not only protected by the First Amendment, it's encouraged. You know, that's how we express it, one way we express ourselves as Americans and show whether we agree with policies or we disagree with policies is by making our views known. So peaceful protests are protected and encouraged, but that's not what we're talking about. You know, you're absolutely right. So far, we haven't seen a lot of violent protests or riots, really, outside of the Antifa BLM movement right now. And so that certainly seems to be the concern that's on the forefront of everyone's minds. But regardless of who they are, if anyone engages in the tactics we've seen in many of these cities, setting buildings on fire, you know, looting businesses, attacking families as they're having dinner on the street, you know, I would be the first one to condemn those tactics from anyone, and I'm sure many folks feel the same way as well.
Right. Now, you make mention, and this is an article, a commentary that you did about the crackdown by Ron DeSantis, that there are places like in Virginia, they are seeking to eliminate mandatory minimum sentences for going after police,
right.
You know? Seems like there is a, and fairly or not, the Democrats are kind of associated with allowing this kind of thing to occur. Then you've got all of this waiving bail for a lot of these people. They don't have to put up any bail money. I mean, it seems to me, I don't know what it is, but don't you think, I think a lot of people are worried that our system of justice, our system of protection, security is kind of coming apart.
Well, I think, you know, there certainly is a narrative being pushed right now that our criminal justice system is systemically racist, that it's dysfunctional, that it's really not achieving the goals it's designed to achieve. And, you know, I push back largely on that narrative. You know, clearly there's room for improvement. There's always, you know, measures we can take to try to improve the system, make it work better. But, you know, the fact is many of our men and women in law enforcement face very difficult jobs day in and day out. And they've been made more difficult in recent months with a lot of this anti-law enforcement rhetoric, facing very tough situations in a lot of these cities and states that have kind of handcuffed them in terms of what steps they can take when enforcing the laws. And so I do think they're in an even tougher situation today than they have been in the past. And so I am encouraged by Governor DeSantis' proposal that if you assault a law enforcement officer during one of these riots, you know, unlike Virginia, which says, you know, we're no longer going to have a mandatory minimum jail sentence, if you do that in Florida, if Governor DeSantis' proposal passes, you're going to face a mandatory minimum of 6 months in jail. And so I think it's important that we protect the men and women of our law enforcement community who face very difficult situations every day they're on the job.
Yeah. I mean, this talk about defunding the police from various portions of the Democratic Party, the far
insanity.
Left. Yeah, I'm just wondering.
It's insanity.
I'm wondering what residents of major cities like, you know, like in Portland or in Minneapolis.
Well, I think we've seen.
What are they thinking? And would they re-vote? I mean, would they re-vote in their mayors that dare think that?
Well, you know, I think they're going to learn the fact very quickly that elections do have consequences. And we don't have to look very far into the future to see kind of how this is going to play out. If you look at places like Portland, or again, Chicago, Baltimore, St. Louis, New York, San Francisco, that all have these kind of anti-police attitudes, that have these rogue prosecutors in office who are refusing to prosecute many so-called quality of life crimes. We're seeing the crime rate, particularly the violent crime rate in terms of shootings, assaults, murders, really kind of going through this explosive growth right now. And again, in places like Chicago, really the only thing that's helped stem that tide is the fact that federal law enforcement resources were surged to that city. And so, again, under a Biden administration, if that those federal resources aren't there, if they aren't brought to bear in kind of that specific targeted way, you know, unfortunately, I think a lot of these cities are in for a very rough few years in terms of their crime rate and their quality of life.
And finally, Zach, where is the legislation that Governor DeSantis is proposing? Where does it stand right now?
So we recently the legislature had kind of their initial session, their planning session. They won't meet until after the first of the year. So there has been some language proposed in terms of legislation put forward. It still has to work its way through the legislative process. The Florida legislature, the House and the Senate still have to take it up. So I'm sure there will be tweaks and changes as it goes through the process. But, you know, I do think this is an encouraging first step, and I encourage everyone to keep up with it, you know, pay attention, reach out to your representatives and senators as this legislation works its way through the House and Senate this upcoming winter.
Indeed. Well, Zach, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time here, and we wish you a very safe, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much. Same to you, and I really appreciate you having me on.
Our pleasure. All right, thanks, Zach. Zach Smith, Heritage Foundation. All right. Going to take our break when we come back. The transition from Donald Trump to Joe Biden is beginning, believe it or not. But the Donald has not given up the ship entirely. We're going to talk about that. And whether or not he should swing on down to Georgia, help elect those two Republican senators with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Cerasi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Golly, can you believe it? Just 2 days before the big Thanksgiving Day. I don't know how big it's going to be for a lot of us with all the social distancing and concern about the virus. In the meantime, President Trump has taken to Twitter, remember Twitter, to respond to those people who see the decision to make federal resources available to the Joe Biden administration and their transition team as a sign that his legal challenge is losing steam. So he is starting to make these transition plans, but he hasn't given up. He said, we are moving full speed ahead on trying to salvage what's going on. He says, we will never concede to fake ballots. And Dominion being that program that was involved in vote counting in many, many states. So, Andrew the Master Barber, I don't know, is it time for the Mayflower moving van truck to back its way up to the, you know, to that back driveway in the White House for Donald Trump and move down to Florida? What do you think?
You know what I'm saying? Even though he's got this stuff going on, you know? You were talking about Sidney Powell yesterday being moved away out of the so-called Trump's legal team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been researching what's going on, and she had to get herself distanced from the President of the United States, okay? Because she says that the governor in Georgia, the Secretary of State, she believes they were paid off by China. Now, she's going to go after Republicans, too, not just Democrats. And I'm hoping this is what really happens because, you know, I've been saying how many times a lot of Republicans sleep with the Democrats and we're playing good cop, bad cop.
Mm-hmm.
But she's saying she's going after them, and I found out that she is the only attorney, military attorney, that is able to try a tyranny tribunal. None of the other attorneys can do that. That's why she had to distance herself. I believe she's going in for a kill, Paul.
Well, but we're running up against the clock. And,
it's all right. Listen, the clock can go. They can swear the guy in. But if you can prove this happened, I got news for you. I don't care if he's the president or not.
Yeah.
Okay? I want to know what went on.
What went on, yeah. Here's an interesting tidbit. I just saw this on the internet here. New Secretary of State pick, Antony Blinken. is his name, has a long-standing relationship with Joe Biden and his son, Hunter Biden. Mm. He's been involved to some extent. When Hunter was running around with the Burisma Energy Company in the Ukraine, Hunter was asking the advice of Antony Blinken and asking if, you know, can I have some time with you, can we sit down and have a cup of coffee together? Here's one of his emails. Have a few minutes next week to grab a cup of coffee. This is Hunter to the incoming Secretary of State. I know you are impossibly busy, but would like to get your advice on a couple of things. Oh, that'll be fun.
Paul, go ahead. This is all tied in. Things are going to go down. You know what? Joe Biden could become president, but I think Trump's going to be the biggest thorn in the side the Democrat Party ever had.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And like I say, I want to know what the truth is, because I still don't believe the guy won legally. But what happens here. But if it shows up that this was a fraud election, I got news for you. There will be a revolution.
Yeah. Do you think in the meantime that Trump should go down to Florida and help campaign for those two Republicans that are running for the Senate?
I would imagine they will. Listen, I think I told you, Trump is going to be the biggest thorn in the side they've got, because his people are still standing behind him. This guy is still going to do rallies, and I got news for you.
Yeah.
I think we're in for a hell of a ride, buddy.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to go away either. Do you think, let's say that, you know, all of this finally transpires, there's a transition. Is Trump going to seriously consider running again, say, in 2024? I don't think Biden's going to want to run again. I mean, he's going to be...
Biden'll probably be dead by then.
Well,
they'll have him in a nursing home. He's talking Kamala Harris, buddy.
They might have...
Let's be real.
I'm thinking they're setting up a nursing home in the West
Wing. Let me tell you, Paul, in 2024, with what these people will do in 4 years, they're going to draft Trump to be president.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. So Biden, you know, he serves 4 years, let's say somehow, and then he's 82 years old, so the Democrats going to look for somebody else. Is this when Trump comes back? What do you think?
Paul, I just told you. It doesn't matter what they do in 4 years. They're going to mess things up so bad, they're going to draft Trump.
They're going to draft him.
Okay? They're going to draft him.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that every time that Biden comes up to the White House right now, that him and Melania shut the lights off and hide behind the furniture?
I don't think
Biden's out.
Nobody home.
Biden's out there. I know you're in there.
And he won't know where he is either.
Here's what you do. You tell him you're going to do the transition, but you change the locks the night before. Okay? Then he can't even get in the damn place.
I can't get my key card to work.
I guess it's not working. Got to go through the window.
I'm surprised they've been taking Biden down to the Conservative Grounds coffee shop over there in Largo, where they got the big room in there. They put Biden behind the desk and make believe he's already there.
What? So I don't know if you were listening to our interview, Andrew, the Master Barber, just before you came on with Zach Smith. Ron DeSantis, cracking down on any potential rioting in the state. And here's a guy, Ron DeSantis, that I think would be and we talked about this, you and I, would be a heck of a presidential candidate maybe in 4 years based on, you know, whatever happens here.
I agree with you. And, you know, if that's the situation, you know, Trump's going to help him 100%.
Right. Indeed he would, I would think, and campaign on his behalf. So tell us your Thanksgiving plans here coming up in a couple of days. Now, first of all, you're open today and you're open half a day tomorrow with your barbershop. And then you're gonna close Thursday and Friday and Saturday. What's your schedule for the
barber? You got it. Closing Thursday, Friday. Won't open until the following Tuesday. Candy says she wants a vacation.
Candy, by the way, does a great job. You and her together do wonderful work. Is Candy going to take some time off and get out
she's
of town?
She's taking time off, she's not going nowhere. Mm-hmm. She got nowhere to go.
Yeah. Just going to be at home, just kind of relaxing. And
her and the mother will be having a good time, believe me.
There you go. Now, what about you, Andrew? Are you moving on? Are you going to be getting together with any relatives where you have to?
Well, we've got 12 people coming over.
That's right. You did talk about that. So how are you going to wear masks and eat the turkey at the same time?
We got little holes in the middle. I had these custom made.
I knew you did.
They got little feathers like a turkey on.
That's so cute. That's so cute. What other advice do you have? I mean, here we go. We're going into, you know, a lot of people are getting on planes, and they are going to go, and they are going to be 12 and 13 and 14 people. Do you think there's any chance that this is going to contribute in any way to an increase in number of cases, or do you think...
Oh, Paul, I'm too tired of talking about this COVID crap yet. The number of cases. And the Dominion is the ones counting the number of cases.
They are.
I read about it.
So they're counting the cases and they're doing the election
right,
too, huh?
Exactly. Oh, what boy. Does that tell you?
Yeah, that's kind
of... People are over this, Paul.
Yeah.
You see a few handful of real tight underwear liberals that are riding in their cars yet with their gloves and their masks on.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, Paul, people really don't care. It's a handful, I believe.
Yeah. So do you think we are going to have some real concern about a backlash next year? I'm thinking that they're not going to get much done, they being the Biden team, because
they're going to get nothing done the next 4 years.
Maybe that's a good thing, and maybe
it's all we can hope.
You know, if they can't get any legislation passed because we have a Republican Senate, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe Mitch McConnell will really be running the country.
Better pray for that. Better pray for that. Like I say, Paul, this country right now is in a war within itself. Mm-hmm. Anybody who doesn't see that, there's something wrong with them. And this has got to be taken care of. And it's all coming to a head, believe me.
So are you going to be optimistic about 2021, even though we have Biden in the White House?
I don't know if he's in the White House yet. I'm still not convinced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm still not convinced. And a lot can happen between now and, you know, January 20th.
Right.
That can happen, Paul. They can still walk him off in handcuffs. I got news for you.
Can you imagine if the press had been anywhere close to objective, how that might have affected the election? They were hammering Trump every day from the day he took office. They were hammering him.
That's right, Paul. But you know what? It's like I told you. You're going to ask Biden Buttercup questions. But, mm-hmm. you know, there's 74 million people that are really pissed off.
Yeah,
I got news for you. If Biden thinks we're going to join hands and sing Kumbaya, I got another prayer for him.
No, he's not fooling anybody. He's not fooling anybody. And
no, this country's not coming together, believe me.
And
not at this point.
And they can't all sit around those reporters and quietly wait while Biden goes, all right, let's see, who are we supposed to call on next, you know? And he has to go to a list that's been prepared so he can call on his favorites, and they dutifully sit there. I don't think they can't get away with that all 4 years.
We're going to make hamburger out of him, believe me. It's not over with. You got no idea. People, every time he goes to make a public appearance, you're going to get tomatoes thrown at him.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if one of them hit him, you know, he's not that, he's kind of feeble.
74 million people aren't going away.
You're right.
You know, the Democrats are on Trump for 4 years, and that was tough. But you know what? 74 million people are joined together behind Trump.
Right. Well, my friend, I want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. And I know that we all are looking for great things. And now we've got the vaccine coming. So hopefully we'll be able to get past all of this. Maybe in several months, this will all seem kind of like a bad dream.
Paul, if this election wasn't going on, this would have been out a long time ago.
You think so? Yeah.
Guaranteed.
We would have had the vaccine out sooner.
It wouldn't have even mattered about a vaccine. It would have been forgot about.
Really?
Sure.
Oh, wow.
200,000 people dead would have been just like another bad flu season if this election wasn't going on.
They wouldn't be giving any publicity to it.
That's right, exactly. Uh-huh. Like I say, they forget that the 3.2 million people die of cancer a year. If they put the effort to a cure for cancer like they did for this COVID, it'd be gone.
We need to do something about that cancer because it's hurting and killing so many people. You're right about that.
But the COVID is the worst, Paul. The COVID's the worst. Remember, that's what they're telling you.
Yeah.
So.
Indeed.
We'll ride this out, my friend.
I know we will.
We're worse than this.
Well, it's always a pleasure talking with you. It's always a pleasure having you as a buddy. And you got a great place going. You got great people that work with you. We want you to have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and you and I will be talking, hopefully, God willing, on Monday.
You got it, buddy. You have a good Thanksgiving, Paul. Trump be with you.
May the Trump be with you as well. Thanks so much. All right. Andrew, the Master Barber. And get in there, get your hair cut. You know, Ed, you're going to get your hair cut when? Today or tomorrow or what? What are you doing here?
Sometime this afternoon.
Oh, cool. Cool. I know he'll be glad to see you. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, you vegans, you better start looking to eat some turkey on Thursday. We'll tell you why.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Hey, did you know there's a live psychology talk show Thursday and Friday at noon where you can call in and get free guidance and also learn several different topics relating to ending the stigma on mental health? It's called Moments of Clarity on WTAN 1340 AM. It's with licensed therapist Tiffany Warner, who will try to end the stigma on mental health. But the only way you can do that is to listen to Moments of Clarity Thursday and Friday at noon on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment, Freedom Works. By the way, if you cannot hear us live, please, please, please remember you can go to our website and hit the podcast button and listen to us. Big Ed sets up all of our shows on podcast. He sets them up real simple, you know, from the latest show on down. Chronologically, you'll know who the guest is in the top 10. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, during the break, Ed told me that I'm mispronouncing. It's not vegans, it's vegans. Vegans. Wow. Thank you, Ed. Well, here's a deal for whatever they're called. Non-meat eaters, especially vegans, are at higher risk of breaking their bones due to lower intake of calcium and protein. And where do you get a lot of calcium and protein? You get it from red meat and all kinds of other kinds of meat. Now, this is an Oxford University study, along with a group called EPIC, EPIC, I guess, which involved almost 55,000 Brits. And they concluded that non-meat eaters, especially vegans, had higher risks of either total or some site-specific fractures, especially in their hips. So, you know what? And I always thought that people that didn't eat meat, they always looked to me a little bit palish. Is that true? Do you ever notice that?
Here's an example. The Colin Kaepernick quarterback guy with all the trouble. Well, after he was out of football, and you know he's still trying to get back, he went vegan. And that was one of the reasons why, you know, NFL executives were afraid to put him back in the, bring him back into football.
Because
He lost a bunch of weight too, and he's, he's probably 6'5", and
he's very thin.
Yeah, he's probably right around 200, maybe.
Yeah, that's very thin. For a guy that tall.
So yeah. that was one of the things that they were worried about.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I do believe there's some truth to that. I've always thought there was a group of non-meat eaters, the Seventh-day Adventists don't eat meat, and they run a lot of hospitals, the Adventist hospitals. Anyway, I always thought when I would go to those places that those people always look so pale. Mm. And I always thought maybe it's because they don't eat red meat. I don't know if it's true. but it seemed that way to me.
Some of them are very extreme, too.
Yeah.
They don't have anything to do, like, if it, eggs, anything that's got eggs in it.
Yeah.
You know, they won't eat that.
Yeah.
Strictly.
I mean, we got teeth. You know, the way we were evolved, we're meat eaters. That's just the way we need meat.
You got places like Burger King that are now making a plant burger for the vegans. You know?
Ooh. I don't want no stinking plant burger. I want a real hamburger. So participants were categorized into four diet groups. About 30,000 meat eaters, about 8,000 fish eaters, about 15,500 vegetarians, and just under 2,000 vegans. And so then they went all through this, and the basic thing was hip fractures, where fish eaters, vegetarians, and vegans all had higher risks. So there you go. All right. Hey, speaking of football and Colin Kaepernick, I was watching a football game last night, Ed, and I thought that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers should have, I mean, they were hosting the Los Angeles Rams. I thought, oh, come on, we're going to win this game. What happened last night? I don't believe the Bucs won.
There's some sort of a power struggle going on there. I mean, listen, I don't know how much of the game you saw. Did you see Mike Evans score?
I believe I saw him score, yes.
Chris Godwin scored also. The two. Those are the two top receivers that we have, no doubt. And you might even make for a case for Scotty Miller being third or Cameron Brate, the tight end, being fourth. And why is Antonio Brown, our troublemaker new son of God, catching three passes or going to three times in a row on one series? Why? Now, we know it's not the head coach calling the plays, because he's already said, I'm not calling the plays.
Is Tom Brady calling his own plays?
I don't know if Byron Leftwich, the offensive coordinator, is calling that play, or Tom Brady is changing it and playing favorites. Because Antonio Brown is not even the top two receivers on the team. And you should be utilizing those guys that you have. And before Brown came here, everything was clicking. And now we've got a problem.
Antonio Brown, though, Brady cannot direct who's coming in and off the field. Now, Antonio Brown, if he's coming onto the field, that's from upstairs with the offensive coordinator.
Well, he's on the sideline, yeah.
But
still, yeah. So there's something going on there. He could be used as a decoy, too. He's yet to get deep. He's yet to score a touchdown. I just don't think this fits. And either something's not going to mesh here, or Brady's not going to be here next year.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think Brady will be here next year.
I'm telling you, something is going on.
Something's going
when
on.
I saw three passes in a row to Antonio Brown, something is wrong. If I'm Mike Evans or Chris Godwin, I'm a little ticked off.
A little ticked off.
Yeah.
Well, what about the defense? I mean, first of all, what was the final score? It was quite a lot of points scored.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be just a field goal.
27-24, but...
Yeah, so what's happening to the defense? Or is it because the Rams have a good offense?
No. I think they have a decent offense, but the fact is that the defense was on the field way too long.
Okay. The Bucs defense.
Yeah. Bucs defense on the field.
Well, that's because the Rams offense is doing well. And it seemed to me the Rams don't have much of a running game.
How many,
they were throwing those short passes and just moving down the field.
On our offense, how many three and outs did we have? The defense is back out on the field.
Yeah.
When we have sustained drives and our defense gets a chance to rest. And the guys are young, too. You got to remember. These cornerbacks are 23 and 24 years old. So they're out of place sometimes.
So you're worried a little bit about whether or not we're going to host the Super Bowl here in Tampa, but maybe we won't have the Bucs in the game. Huh?
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, you don't think so?
No.
Who do you like, New Orleans?
I don't even know about New Orleans because Drew Brees is going to be gone for 4 weeks.
That's right.
They did get one win, but I don't know about three more. That's in the end. So that might actually help the Bucs. Who knows?
You think so? Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Anything can happen.
Yeah, it sure can. Always a soap opera. Always.
Yeah.
But you know what I like? I like a good courtroom drama. And we're going to give you the top 10 greatest movies with courtroom dramas.
Well, you were selling that segue hard, weren't you?
Didn't I sell it good, though? I really moved over to it. And this is from the American Film Institute, so you got to believe it.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you a hint here, Ed. You were probably not born for some of these movies because you're only about 60. And let's see. All of them were in the 20th century. Okay? So let's see how many of these you
know. Well, if the silent ones are in there, we know you watched them live.
I directed a couple of them, for God's sake. All right, here we go. Number 10. This came out in 1961. I was just a little boy. Judgment at Nuremberg. You ever see that movie?
No.
Spencer Tracy was in it.
No.
I think Gene Kelly was in it. And you know who else? Judy Garland was in that movie.
Hmm.
1961. It was good. It had to do, of course, with the Nuremberg trials after World War II. Number 9. In 1988, a movie called A Cry in the Dark. I did not see the movie, don't know anything about it. Had a secondary title called Evil Angels. All right, number 8. This was the movie rendition of Truman Capote's book In Cold Blood. It was 1967, and Robert Blake was in that movie. Robert Blake.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number 7. Jimmy Stewart was in this one, Anatomy of a Murder. It was 1959. Ed's falling asleep because these are movies he doesn't remember. Ed, you got to go over to Turner Classic Movies. These
No.
And you can watch some of these. Then you'll know something about great courtroom dramas. No?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number 6. Here's another one. Charles Laughton, great British actor, was in it. Witness for the Prosecution. Marlene Dietrich, you ever hear of her by any chance?
Yes, I have.
Well, she was in it too, 1957. Number 5. This one you're going to remember, A Few Good Men.
I would have picked that as my top one.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson was in it, right?
You can't handle the truth.
That's right. And Tom Cruise was in. That was a good movie.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
Nicholson was great in. That was in 1992. Number 4. Paul Newman won an Oscar for this one. I think he won one. At least he was nominated. The Verdict.
Mm.
You ever see it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Very good movie. He was defending a Catholic church that was being sued. Okay. Number 3. Ed's trying to answer the phone and do the drums at the same time. It's not easy. It's not easy being Ed. Number 3 is Kramer versus Kramer. Dustin Hoffman and what's her head? The actress. Come on, she's won more Oscars.
I forgot
than
her name too.
It starts with an M. Oh. I'm having a senior moment here. Anyway,
Biden moment. Good.
A Biden moment. Yeah, and that it came out in 1979. Number 2. Henry Fonda starred in this one. In fact, I think he directed it. It was called 12 Angry Men. It all took place inside this very bare room. They were the jury, whether or not to convict this guy of murder. It was very, very well done. All right, Ed.
I told you, I would have thought.
It was a book first, and Gregory Peck was in it. Gregory Peck was in it.
Not even with a gun in my head, I can tell.
Oh, okay. Yeah. To Kill a Mockingbird.
Okay.
You ever hear... Here to Kill a Mockingbird?
Yeah.
Okay. It came out in 1962. It was about the, in Alabama, about the trial of a black man accused of raping a white woman. Very interesting. Okay, my friends, we hope you'll have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We're going to take Friday off. We'll be back on Monday. Please be safe. Drive safely. Be safe. And remember always, freedom works.